Spellbound. Dramatized by Amanda Dalton.
October 1951. My dear Constance, further to my letter of the 20th, it seems I do indeed have little choice but to follow doctor's orders and take a period of rest away from Landry House. I cannot tell you how disappointed I am that I will not be here to greet you on your arrival, nor to offer you, for what it may be worth, my support and guidance through these important first weeks of your career. I will see you as soon as I am able. Meanwhile, I hope you will seize this unexpected opportunity to work with the brilliant Robert Murchison. I have great faith in his ability to run Landry House in my absence, and I am sure the two of you will get along famously. Sincere fond wishes, Joseph Edwards. P.S. Murchison is bringing a patient with him. Interesting case. Be sure to discuss.
Would you mind opening your window? I'd like some air.
Don't want to be reading while you're travelling on these lanes, ma'am. Make you poorly sick.
I'm quite all right, thank you.
Had a lot of rain up here. It's running off the hills. These little waterfall affairs all over.
We're certainly off the beaten track.
I'd say that's deliberate. Wouldn't want a place like that in a town, now, would you?
Look out!
Blimey!
You're halfway across the road!
Is there something wrong?
Stretching your legs, mate.
I'm sorry.
It's a blind bend, this. Sheer drop.
Please, go on.
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, please.
I'll give him go on.
Wait, his hand, he's bleeding. There's mud on his suit. Do you need help?
No, really, thank you. Stay in the car. I'm a doctor. I have a patient with me. I just had to get out.
Is she unwell?
He became agitated, tried to take the wheel, but I've sedated him. Everything is perfectly under control.
Are you going to Landry House?
Yes.
I'm going there myself. Constance Sedgwick, I'm the new doctor. You're not Dr. Murchison?
Yes. Yes, I am, yes. Pleased to meet you.
Are you sure you're all right?
Thank you, I'm perfectly sure.
Shall we follow behind?
I'll follow.
Dr. Murchison, I'm so
pleased. I'm getting off this bend.
We'll keep him inside. He seems a little dazed.
Be glued to him. Madman. Out on the public highway.
Friday, October the 12th. Landry House Journal, day one. I've arrived. My name is on the door. Too overtired and excited for sleep. There are half a dozen patients and a rather frosty head nurse who also seems to be the pharmacist and secretary to Dr. E. An extraordinary first meeting with Dr. M. Disappointed not to speak properly with him when we arrived, but he's exhausted, gone straight to his rooms. Had not expected him to be so handsome.
Dr. Edwards left me very clear notes. He's recommended that Dr. Sedgwick should be given responsibility for the care of Cicely Trulow and Harold Curtis.
That's wonderful. I mean to say, I'm grateful for the opportunity. Mr. Curtis, he's the man with an hysterical paralysis, isn't he? Dr. Edwards...
Do we have these patients' files, Nurse Dealing?
I do. Dr. Edwards left them in my care.
May I? Thank you.
I'm rather concerned about Cicely Trulow. Since Dr. Edwards told her he's to be away, she's not stopped scrubbing. Her obsessive cleaning...
I think that is hardly surprising, wouldn't you say, Dr. Murchison, assuming her fear of contamination is an expression of unacceptable desire...
I'm sure you're right. Perhaps we can discuss this later.
Of course.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I would just like to confirm that the Reverend Hickett is...
We have a reverend.
He was a padre during the war.
He may interest me.
But Dr. Edwards would have wanted
to... He's not here, Nurse Dealing.
Clearly not.
Now, if I may, my patient, Geoffrey Godstone, it is of the utmost importance that I alone attend to him, and I personally will administer his medication and carry out nursing duties and deal with any correspondence, not that I necessarily expect any.
As you choose. Will he eat with the others?
No. Much of the time he will stay locked in his room.
Oh, we very rarely lock
patients in. He's an exceptional case. As Dr. Sedgwick knows, he proved himself yesterday to be quite dangerous, although his violence was most out of character. But as a result of it, I must take extra precautions. He is, at any rate, delusional.
Are you all right, Doctor?
Yes, it's just a headache.
Can I...
No, I'm quite all right, thank you.
If I may, I had hoped, if this might be possible, to work alongside you sometimes, to learn from you. Dr. Edwards said, as you know, I'm only recently qualified, and being here is part of my training in analysis. I understand...
Good heavens, Dr. Sedgwick, do take a breath.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God, now I feel I must have sounded like a bear with a sore head. Of course we shall work together every day. I do warn you, though, you'll soon be sick of the sight of me.
Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Reverend Hickett usually likes to lead a service in the chapel. Dr. Edwards always attends.
Does he indeed?
I'm not sure why that's amusing. Reverend Hickett is deeply traumatized by his experiences in the war, a broken man. But he conducts a perfectly proper Church of England service.
Another reason to keep Godstone locked away, I'm afraid, as if I needed one. Oh, I don't think I told you. He believes himself to be a servant of the devil.
Saturday, October the 13th. I have so much to discover. Sensible thoughts. One, I must seize this opportunity to learn all I can from Dr. M. The range of his medical interests is wider than I'd imagined. Two, Nurse Dealing probably has a repressed desire for Dr. Edwards. She has never married. I would love to ask her about her father. Three, a servant of the devil. Four, Dr. M is impressive. More nervous than he would admit. Frequently clenches his hands while talking. I've borrowed his Labyrinths of the Guilt Complex from the library. A signed copy. He's asked me to call him Robert.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Such brio. Command. I wonder what drives this confidence. He would say it comes from God, but I mean something in his fundamental sense of self, his childhood self.
Dr. Edwards has always encouraged him to take the service. He would be here.
Landry House is a huge undertaking. I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night and Dr. Murchison's light was still on.
Probably fussing over his special patient, if he was half as interested in the others.
He's there?
Well, he's missed the boat.
Have you worked here a long time?
I've worked for Dr. Edwards since September 1932.
Gosh.
He bought Landry House at the end of the war. Always thought he'd go back to Austria one day. He lost his entire family to the Nazis. There's only his sister. She followed him over when he came here to study in 1920. She's still in Felixstowe.
Reverend Hickett, I believe so.
What does he want with him? Reverend Hickett will be most anxious.
I'm sure he's simply interested. Despite your doubts, I'm sure he is.
Well, he's taking him somewhere. Where are they going?
Truly, Anne. Dr. Edwards spoke so highly of Murchison. He'll be careful.
Dr. Sedgwick, I don't think...
Please, call me Constance. Do let's be friends.
Will Attlee win? I'm not so sure.
But Mr. Churchill is an old man. He's had his day.
Set the people free, no?
He sounded ghastly on the wireless.
It's clear you're not to be convinced.
I'm not. But I'm no politician.
Oh, I think you are. You handle Nurse Dealing with great tact and skill.
I respect her.
One couldn't help but do so. She has extensive knowledge and commitment, experience. I think she dislikes me.
Oh, no. No.
Yes, yes. Constance, you're a psychiatrist. Surely you cannot be so blind to the nuances of repressed behaviour.
Well, you're not Dr. Edwards, are you?
I don't think so.
So it's inevitable. She feels you've displaced him, and she's perhaps a little worried by your interest in the Reverend Hickett. A little possessive.
I'm merely interested in his faith.
Oh, so am I. The psychology of belief.
There may not be such a distance between him and Godston.
But surely...
Would you have dinner with me tomorrow night? In my rooms? That it would be a chance to discuss...
What is it? What are you looking at?
That downpipe on the chapel wall. It's come away from the gutter. It's nowhere for the...
It's only rain. We can get it repaired.
I'm so sorry. It's my head again. I suffer from rotten headaches.
You should see a doctor. Let me fetch you a glass of water.
No. It'll pass. It's passing.
I shall be delighted
to
have dinner with you.
Excellent. Excellent.
October 14th, Sunday night. I imagine my mind is a large room full of labelled boxes. It keeps messy thoughts in their place. Tonight I've made some new ones for my time at Landry House. A large box for my patients, one for myself as a doctor, all I've ever wanted, all I've worked for, and a small box with a closed lid for Dr. Robert Murchison. 1:30 a.m. Can't sleep. So much for boxes. Oh, sorry, you startled me. Can't think why the light was on, I should have guessed. I just came for a book.
Then you're in the right place. So I'm not the only one who can't sleep.
No.
It's a very pretty dressing gown.
You look as if you're studying. Working, I won't disturb you.
Would you like a drink?
Well...
I found a little whiskey. I'm hoping it doesn't belong to Nurse Dealing.
Gosh, we must replace it.
I will, I promise. Would you like some?
I don't really drink whiskey. I find it a little harsh.
Here, try it. I've added water.
It smells very strong.
It'll help you sleep.
Delicious.
Constance.
Please don't keep looking at me. I feel so foolish.
I can't help it. It's...
I should go back to bed. May I take your drink?
Of course, but please don't. You don't have to leave.
It's very late.
Or very early.
I'm sure I'll sleep now.
Good. Sweet dreams.
4 a.m. Love is a delusional psychosis. And don't you ever forget it, Constance Sedgwick.
You see, it's my arm, nurse. Completely paralysed.
And do you have pain in it?
A dull ache, I'd call it. Sometimes. Usually nothing.
And tell me, Mr. Curtis, this trouble with your arm. It started when the business in which you were a partner was running into difficulties. Is that correct?
I'd rather not talk about that.
How does it make you feel to speak of it?
Oh, gosh, I'm not used to such questions from a girl. It makes me feel bad.
Bad?
Because I am bad. It reminds me of my failure.
But, as I understand it, any failure in your business didn't rest with you. Your accounts were certainly in order.
My failure as a human being. You see, you can't catch me out, nurse. I know myself inside out.
I apologise for disturbing you. May I have a word?
Excuse me one moment.
Listen.
What am I supposed to hear?
Wait. There, Mr. Godston. I've been listening at his door. He's rather disturbed.
Is Dr. Murchison with him?
He's alone in there. Dr. Murchison is nowhere to be found.
He's expressly forbidden any interference. We must respect his authority.
In all my years of nursing, I've never ignored a patient in distress.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Anne. You work in a psychiatric hospital, albeit a very small and privileged one. You're surely not trying to tell me you've never before heard the wailing of a disturbed patient.
Very well. As Dr. Murchison is nowhere to be found, I yield to your wisdom.
Anne, please.
That's stealing.
Doctor?
I had a small drink of your whiskey last night. I've been out to try and find you a replacement. Not that I drank at all, you understand. What's the matter?
Well, quite probably nothing.
It's Geoffrey Godston.
What of him?
He was making a noise. Calling. Nurse Dealing. We were a little concerned.
I trust you didn't go to him.
Of course I didn't. You asked us not to. There he is again.
I'll see to him directly. Here, please, and take it. With my apologies.
Thank you. I'll put it in Dr. Edwards' rooms.
I was so nervous when I arrived at Robert's rooms for dinner. I drank a large glass of wine terribly quickly. Became quite tipsy. Tried to appear sober, to talk to him about his books and his research. But he didn't want to. Fear I must have sounded like a schoolgirl with a crush.
I'd like to drink a toast to us. Whatever happens next, tonight we're here together and I'm the luckiest man alive.
I'm not sure I like whatever happens next. I'll be looking over my shoulder all evening.
No, take no notice. I'm a miserable pessimist.
Oh, dear, are you really?
It's an effect of the war, don't you think?
But we won.
Yes, we won. Doesn't mean it didn't shake us up.
I thought we went to war to make the world a safer place.
We did, and it is. Poor Constance, you look like a frightened child.
Well, I'm not. You sound like a neurotic melancholic.
Well, maybe I am.
Did you have a difficult war? Where were you?
I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about you. I want to shout your name from the chimney tops of Laundry House.
Robert.
Look here. I bought a newspaper on the whiskey trip. A streetcar named Desire. Will you come?
To the pictures?
Well, why not?
I'd love to. Just that we're working. Perhaps we shouldn't both disappear.
No, you're right. You're so good and conscientious.
Oh, please stop. You're making me sound horribly dull. I want to be silly and carefree.
Never dull. Never. Never. Come here.
He took my hand, leaned across the table. I think he would have kissed me. Oh! Oh! But I, so hopelessly awkward, knocked his glass of wine for six. Nothing broke. But the wine poured everywhere, over the edge of the table, dripping onto the floor, beige carpet, red wine.
Try and rescue the carpet, oh heavens.
Robert? He was standing up, staring at the spilt wine as it pooled into a deep red stain. He seemed to be mesmerised by it. And then, quite suddenly, he slumped back in his chair.
Too late. Can't you see that you're too late?
What is it? Robert, you're overtaxed. Coming here, your patient, your research. Let me help you.
No, I'm all right. I'm all right. Momentary. Damn it. Damn it. I'm so, so sorry, Constance. See how you've bewitched me. You've made me lose my mind.
But it was no use. We were both disturbed by what had happened. As we finished our meal, we talked mostly of the patients. Said goodnight, politely. I came back to my rooms. Then, soft footsteps on the corridor and a note under my door. A drawing of a bunch of flowers. A rather good drawing. With my love, Robert. Come for a walk with me on our free afternoon. I'll find you some real ones. I doubt he will. Perhaps he's forgotten it's October.
Sorry I'm a little late. May I join you both, Miss Trullo?
Oh, please call me Cicely. Or Sissy, better still. Dr. Edwards always calls me Sissy. I'm not one for standing on ceremony.
I explained to Sissy that you would be sitting in on some of our consultations, with her permission. I just asked her about 2 years ago to say whatever comes into
please
her...
Please don't sit on that chair, Doctor. It's not clean.
How is it not clean, Sissy?
In every way. It's dirty.
If I wiped it with a cloth...
I'd rather do it myself, if you don't mind. Expect you think I'm a lunatic, don't you? Expect I am.
I don't think anything of the sort. I think that one's mind is... Well, one's mind is like a large house with many rooms. Imagine that house as a mind, Sissy, with some rooms that are hidden, sealed up behind walls.
Oh.
Now, however long one's lived in one's house, those rooms remain impossible to find. We don't even know they exist. Other rooms are locked. We have the key, but we may have misplaced it, or we may be a little nervous to look inside this room we closed off when we were just, say, 8 or 9 years old. This room that is full of our forgotten past.
And full of dust.
And cobwebs, no doubt. Sometimes, though, the weight of objects in those locked and hidden rooms places a huge strain on the house. And the walls are bulging, the ceilings begin to crack.
I thought you doctors were supposed to make me feel better. I could burst into tears.
No, let me... Well, something may have happened to you 2 years ago, maybe something very small, apparently of no consequence, that reminded you of what you've locked away in one of those rooms.
Dr. Edwards asked me that.
I have Dr. Edwards' notes. Your notes, Sissy. Notes of what you've told him. Your employer, Colonel Rickaby, he had a riding accident around that time.
Yes, he did. And what of it? I told Dr. Edwards he broke his arm. I did a few extra jobs for him. I don't see what that has to do with anything.
That's all right, Sissy. Now, these minds of ours, they don't want us to see. Part of you can't face it, those cracks in the ceiling. So you don't look up. And you push a heavy sideboard against the bulging wall.
Perhaps we should let Miss Truelove rest for a while, Doctor. I think you're a little tired.
But something has tipped over in one of those rooms, and it's seeping under the door, and you scrub, and you clean, and you must get rid of it. That dirty, seeping, guilty stain in your house.
The house I grew up in.
Robert is a quite brilliant doctor. I'm certain that today we've made a significant advance in the therapeutic treatment of CT. If only Anne Dealing could have witnessed this. She may just have been convinced.
Help me! For pity's sake, get me out of here!
Robert? Are you in there? Mr. Godston, please be calm. Thank heavens. Do you have a key to this room?
I have a set of master keys Dr. Edwards left in my care. But I thought we were to ignore Mr. Godston.
I don't know where Robert is.
Shopping for whiskey?
Get your keys. I want you to come to Mr. Godston's room with me.
Very well.
I don't know what I expected to find. That Godston the Diabolist had attacked his doctor? Sacrificed him at a makeshift shrine to Satan?
Dr. Sedgwick, you're squeezing my arm. I'd be grateful if you didn't.
Do you have some bromide?
Of course.
The air in the room was stale. Godston lay face down on the floor, quietly weeping, his energy apparently spent. Beside him, the ruins of a cabinet he'd managed to pull from the wall. A miracle it hadn't crushed him. Perhaps he was trying to drag himself to the barred window. There was a deep gash, several days old, and a dark bruising on his forehead. And his feet were bandaged.
Come along now, Mr. Godston. Look at this mess. What on earth were you trying to do?
Get out of here. I have to go.
You're quite safe in hospital, but you must stay in bed and rest. Your doctor will be here soon.
No!
Let's make you comfortable. Just a little tiny sting. I'm only giving him a light sedative. In my opinion, he's already drugged to the eyeballs.
Whatever you think is best.
Look at his foot.
She had removed the bandage from his left foot. Beneath it, the sole was cut raw, in the perfect shape of a cross. Without speaking, she unwrapped the other bandage. His right foot the same. A crucifix, carved from his flesh.
Tried to kill me.
Are these...
I assume he...
Hit me. Wants me dead.
He probably banged his head in the car.
There was a struggle, I understand, before Dr. Murchison was able to sedate him.
Murchison?
Why in heaven has he done this to his own feet?
What the hell are you doing in here?
I made a professional decision that Mr. Godston may be in danger of harming himself.
I expressly forbade you to have any contact with my patient.
He was agitated, extremely upset.
Now you're being emotional. Constance? Constance, don't go.
His head wound. And the cuts on his feet.
They are self-inflicted.
Of course, but they're nasty injuries. His feet, the wounds are shaped...
Here, as you're so curious, the medical records of Geoffrey Godstone, read them. Now, they'll tell you that he has cut the shape of the cross into the soles of his feet that he may forever trample on God. It is a statement of contempt, a sign that he is with Satan. I look pale. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have left him. And I should have spoken to you. I was outside.
Didn't you hear it?
No, I mean, I was walking outside looking for Conkers. Here, it's a beauty. It's for you.
It's lovely. Silly. Like polished wood.
Yes, you can probably see your face in it. Can you?
Not quite.
If you could, I would have to take it back from you so that I could gaze at you all day long.
In a conker?
Sorry, I didn't put that very well.
I'm not sure it was terribly romantic.
You make me tongue-tied.
You make me spill wine. He kissed me and kissed me, and I wanted it to never end. We stood there in each other's arms, in broad daylight. Two professional people supposed to be with their patients. And I didn't care. I didn't care who saw us. I wouldn't have cared if the world caught fire. All I'd ever worked for counted for nothing compared to this. How frighteningly, wonderfully insane.
My darling girl. There's something I have to...
And then the telephone rang. I would happily have thrown it across the room.
You must answer.
Me.
Laundry house. Who? Yes, this is Robert Murchison. I'm sorry, I know no one of that name.
Robert? Robert? What's wrong?
Perhaps it was just that the interruption brought him back to his senses. At any rate, he said he had to go and he left, in quite a hurry. And this evening he ate alone in his rooms. So now I'm all at sixes and sevens, pretending I'm glad of an early night.
I'm a doctor. I needed some medication for my patient.
You helped yourself to drugs from a locked dispensary without consulting me and without making a record in the logbook. Dr. Edwards would be... He would not tolerate such sloppy, dangerous...
Dangerous?
We are in a hospital. You took sufficient quantities of bromide to sedate a herd of buffalo. Enough, in fact, to kill a man.
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting nothing. I am merely wondering. Perhaps you're planning to open a small pharmacy of your own.
I've made it clear. I am handling all aspects of Geoffrey Godstone's care. This includes administering and monitoring his medication. I don't want to have to keep coming back to the dispensary.
I heard raised voices. I don't mean to intrude.
I've patients to see.
Not the Reverend Hickett, I hope.
Anne?
Please go.
Was he beastly? It sounded that way.
I'm rather tired.
It must be difficult. With Dr. Edwards away and us not really knowing the ropes. Must feel as though you're holding the fort pretty much alone. If there's anything I can...
There's nothing. I must get on.
I do agree Dr. Murchison has been thoughtless. I think his headaches... I'll talk to him tomorrow after morning consultations. I'm going for a walk with him.
Are you sure that's wise?
What do you mean?
You're young. You barely know him.
I feel as if I do.
One's capacity for misery is boundless when one is in love. That's what Joseph Edwards would have to say.
I must confess, I do rather wish Dr. Edwards was here.
Then you do, then you don't, then you say you will, and then you won't.
Constance, come in here. Listen to this.
What are you doing in Dr. Edwards' study?
I was looking for a book he recommended, and I found a gramophone.
Robert, this is a hospital.
Come on!
Stop pulling me. Turn it off. I need to speak to you.
Dance with me.
Are you crazy?
Dr. Sedgwick, not something I think you should ask in a place like this.
Anne's doing her rounds. She'll be upset. You mustn't.
Irresistible.
Stop it. We're supposed to be with our patients.
Hmm?
Anne, this is most... I do apologise. Most improper. I know. A moment of thoughtlessness.
I always find, now stealing, that music hath charms to soothe the savage beast. I'm most interested in music as a component in the therapeutic treatment of a wide range of disorders.
You may or may perhaps not be aware, Dr. Murchison, that Joseph Edwards would agree with you wholeheartedly. And were he here, he may well be playing music in the evenings with his patients, for his patients. You may even have found him leading a foxtrot or a slow waltz around the dining room. I hazard the guess that you would not, however, have witnessed him dancing in the modern style with a female colleague in his private rooms at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
You're absolutely right.
Could I speak with you privately, Dr. Sedgwick? On an entirely other matter.
Excuse me, Dr. Murchison.
Stop it! I have just been speaking to a Daphne Saunders. She is from Dr. Murchison's publishing house. They were expecting a call from him. On Monday, not having heard from him, she telephoned here. I remember. I took the call and put her through.
Go on.
She's been wondering what to do ever since. She tells me that the man who picked up the telephone and who called himself Dr. Murchison claimed not to know her. He cut her off. She also says she did not recognise his voice.
But that's ridiculous. Maybe he... Have you asked him about this? Surely this woman is some patient or ex-patient of Robert's. She may be pursuing
Constance,
him...
Constance, please listen. I have been thinking for days... Geoffrey Godston is heavily drugged, more so than any patient I've ever seen. His head injury suggests a forceful attack. The wounds on his feet appeared on Tuesday to be fresh.
I don't follow.
Now, hear me out. Reverend Hickett is distressed by Dr. Murchison's questioning. He feels his faith is being challenged. And Dr. Murchison was not willing on Sunday to attend the church service.
What is this... Where is this leading?
Dr. Murchison has no apparent wound from Geoffrey Godston's assault. But he does have headaches. His trance states, I would be tempted to call them, are distinctly odd. Then there was the medication taken from the dispensary.
I said to you, he was just thoughtless, and his headaches...
I'd rather you didn't go walking with him.
You would rather I didn't?
I believe Geoffrey Godston attacked Dr. Murchison on the way here.
He did, we know.
Knocked him out... drugged him, drove him to Landry House, and locked him in the room.
Godston locked Robert in the room? Mm-hmm. No. You're suggesting that Geoffrey Godston is posing as Dr. Murchison?
He could easily have cut Dr. Murchison's feet.
That's completely and utterly absurd.
I didn't really expect you to take me
you
seriously.
You took against Robert from the moment he stepped
but
out of
I'm
his car.
But I'm not sure how else you will explain,
you
at the very least, Daphne
Saunders'
call.
You even met
call.
Him because he isn't Joseph Edwards.
If you mean that I have a responsibility to Dr. Edwards, then yes, I do. And it's a responsibility I am determined to uphold.
I'm piling little pieces of wood into the grate. I know that in order for the fire to light, they must be very evenly placed. I'm being very careful, but my hands are shaking.
He became agitated. He tried to take the wheel.
His mouth is a great black cavern swallowing me up.
Reverend Hickett usually likes to lead a service in the chapel.
Dr. Edwards always attends.
Does he indeed?
Bursts into flames. As it does so, it's...
I was looking for Conkers. Here. It's a beauty for you. I know no one of that name.
And I have the awful feeling that I was the one who was screaming.
My darling girl. My darling, darling girl.
I had a sore throat, you know, when I woke. Doctor?
Yes. Of course. Thank you, Mr. Curtis. Good. I think we'll talk about this next time.
Have you written it all down?
I've made notes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it sufficiently interesting?
It was most interesting.
Oh. Well, I failed to see how it'll restore the use of my arm.
The dream will not help your arm directly, but when we talk about your dreams, you may begin to understand them. With my help, we're trying to reach a part of your mind that's locked away.
A drawing of flowers.
And we can't
with
control
love,
it because we
Robert.
Don't even know it's there. The only way we can hope to reach it is to...
Labyrinths of the Guilt Complex.
That's like a warder.
It's a signed copy.
At the gates. We want to lure that warder away from his post so that the secrets of your unconscious mind can come out for us to see.
Well, thank you very much, my dear. Most enlightening.
It's a signed copy.
Forgive me, Mr. Curtis. There is something I have to attend to. Poor Mr. Curtis. I hurried to my room. Robert's note here in my journal, the signed book beside my bed. I knew just what I'd see when I turned to the title page. The little flourish on the tip of the R, the thin looping B and T. Nothing like the Robert of my note. I was looking at the handwriting of two different men.
Oh, it's a surprise.
I don't like surprises.
Don't you? This is very interesting, Doctor.
I've told you before, I'm not amused. Is it lunch?
The man was speaking.
It had better not be a dead rabbit or a pheasant.
Why on earth would I have such a thing?
Who knows?
Never mind why in God's name I would bring a dead animal on a walk in the hills with a beautiful woman. Constance, what's the matter?
That kit bag, or whatever it is, some kind of gamekeeper's sack... made me think of hunting, or... I don't know.
I found the bag in the kitchen. I borrowed it for the stolen picnic.
So I'm not so wrong.
A tin of ham from the pantry.
That's at least a fortnight's rations.
Half a loaf, two apples, a packet of Spangles, and a bottle of Dr. Edwards' finest white wine. I thought we should avoid red, seeing as you're such a clumsy chump. I even remembered a corkscrew and a knife.
You must have been a Boy Scout.
I must indeed.
Don't you remember?
Don't I remember what?
If you're a Boy Scout. You said I must indeed have been a Boy
Constance,
Scout.
Constance, we're not in Laundry House. We're having an afternoon off, would you please? I'm crackers about you.
I'm tired, Robert. I didn't sleep a wink last night.
Are you unwell?
No. Can we go down to the river? I'd like to see it. We can have our picnic there.
Whatever your impenetrable heart desires... What are you doing?
I'm going to bathe my feet in the water. Come on.
You lost your senses. It'll be freezing.
Don't be such a coward. Please.
Constance. Why do you matter so much, do you?
It'll be a lark.
They'll tell you that he's cut the shape of the cross into the soles of his feet that he may forever trample on God.
There. Wiggle the toes. Get the circulation going. What's the matter? Well, I might not have the loveliest feet in the world. Constance?
I can't tell you. I'm...
My darling, there is nothing you can't tell me.
It's... I don't want to paddle in the stream. It was just... I'm just tired. I'm just as
shh,
foolish...
Shh, don't say that. You are clever and beautiful and...
You must know that I've fallen hopelessly in love with you.
Oh, please don't, Robert. Can you just put your shoes back on, please? And can we walk? There is something I do want to ask you.
Yes?
Please, don't be angry, darling. I'm sure it's a silly muddle. But on Sunday, I borrowed a copy of Labyrinth of the Guilt Complex from the library. You'd signed it. Probably given as a gift for Landry House. Then, after we had dinner the other night, you wrote me the note asking me to come out with you today. And, well, I happened just to look at them both last... I don't know why, but I noticed your signatures. They don't look at all alike. Ah! What? Get off me! Get off, Robert!
Get away! Get away from there! Go back! Go back! I can't help you! I can't! Oh, my God. My God, I'm so sorry. Constance, I don't know. My head. I could have killed
you. It's all right. I thought you were going to throw me in, but you were saving me, weren't you?
I don't know.
I thought the other day you might be hydrophobic, but no. It's the sound. And water rushing, falling. Your headaches, your trance states, a dynamic phobia. Something has happened to make you afraid. It's all right. We'll go back to Landry House. I'll stay with you.
No.
No, you have to leave me. The thing is, I don't remember. I don't know for sure. When you saw me on the road on the way here, I don't remember how I got there. I don't even know if I am Robert Murchison.
These pains in your head, the water, your mind in terrible conflict. You're trying to remember something, but it's too awful to remember, so you forget.
That's just it, Constance. What if... I was standing on the side of the road with a rock in my hand. Godstone was unconscious in the back of the car. His head was bleeding. I must have hit him. I had no idea who he was. Or who I was. On the front seat, there were directions to Landry House and a briefcase, medical papers. I was looking at them, trying to decide what to do when you came along in your taxi.
You're suffering from amnesia. It explains everything. I should have known, but I didn't want to know. I'm going to help you. You've done nothing wrong, Robert. You're suffering from a condition that can be cured through analysis.
No.
It's much too late for no. Of course you're Robert Murchison. You're certainly not Godston, so who else could you be? Come on, my darling. Let's go back. I want us to get the car. I want to take you somewhere.
Oh, thank goodness. Constance, are you all right?
Yes. Yes, of course. What's wrong?
Where is he?
Dr. Murchison, he's just gone to the bathroom.
So, you are safe.
Dr. Edwards!
I am sooner than you expected. You are later than we expected.
But you're supposed to be taking a rest.
I didn't ask him to come. I did send a wire on Tuesday.
Ann, please. I came because I was concerned. I'm glad I came.
I didn't know what else to do.
What's happening? Why are you here?
I expect it's nearly time to... Hello?
I don't believe we've met.
I'm Robert Murchison.
Excuse me.
Robert, this is Dr. Joseph Edwards.
Good afternoon.
Where's Nurse Dealing gone to?
She's just...
Robert, we must tell him.
If you're going to tell me that this is not my friend, Robert Murchison, there's no need. I can see as much.
Oh, God, help me.
I've brought some tea.
If you must be here, sit down and be quiet. Your friend, Mr. X, and I are trying to concentrate. Please, continue.
That's it. I wake up feeling terrible every time.
Now, is it possible, I wonder, that you actually jumped from a burning aeroplane? The sense of your mother's arms, your image of floating, bobbing in your school chair. I'm interpreting possibly a parachute, the branches of a tree.
I gashed my leg... Here's the scar.
was in the medical corps, I think.
Go on.
I can't. It's no good.
No, it's not no good. It's no time. We need days, weeks of intensive to retrieve this memory. Constance, your friend has forgotten who he is.
I know.
I'm going to the police.
Amnesia is not a crime.
I'll drive you.
No!
If I'm not Murchison, then where is he? Constance, he's missing. I've got his car, his papers, his patients. I think I've got his luggage. I seem to have an awful lot of clothes.
Please, not the police. Not yet. Please,
Godstone must know the truth, and he's afraid of me, and that's why I had to sedate him, because...
It's obvious you're a doctor.
I think I am.
Possibly a colleague of Murchison. You haven't forgotten everything. The other night you talked about Burgess and MacLean. And the King. You know the King is ill. And the Dome of Discovery. You said you had been up to London.
Oh, I do remember the Festival of Britain. I may have met Robert Murchison there.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. There was a Chinese dragon, a room set out. It was supposed to be Sherlock Holmes' sitting room at 221B Baker Street. Great fun.
And you were with Robert?
I was with someone, I think, but I don't... My head hurts.
You must try.
I have been trying for days.
There's somewhere we have to go, Dr. Edwards, before it's dark.
No, Constance. What if I killed him?
I don't believe you could have done.
But you don't know. I might be dangerous.
Dr. Edwards, surely Freud said that the condition of amnesia does not essentially alter the sufferer.
But yes, any phobias will remain. New ones are unlikely to develop. A man who dislikes the later music of Schoenberg will not discover a sudden passion for atonality.
I trust this man. I believe he is conflicted, in denial, possibly in the throes of dissociative fugue, but I do not believe for a second that he is a murderer.
Ah, but my dear, you are in love. Love is an impossible project. And if I may say this, one is very crazy when in love.
But...
I'm driving myself to the police station.
Wait! Dr. Edwards... Is it not true that sometimes if a patient is taken back, actually, physically taken back to the place where a trauma or a significant incident occurred, then a memory or reenactment of an emotion may occur?
Yes, this can.
Then we must go to the place on the road where I first saw him.
Joseph, The police are on their way.
Oh.
They found a body in the valley, beneath the crags, a couple of miles down the road. Oh. I'm sorry to say, I think it's Robert Murchison.
Constance! Don't be so foolish! Constance!
I told him Dr. Edwards was too tired to drive. I doubt he believed me, but he said nothing. I didn't tell him a body had been found. We had been driving for 5 minutes when a police car came in sight, travelling towards Landry House. Neither of us mentioned it. It was easy to remember the blind bend where we'd first met a week ago. The hill looked as if it had been chiselled from limestone, but for the streams of water that sprang everywhere like leaks from a giant colander. The dry stone wall that edged the lane was broken down. The drop to the valley was sheer. As Robert slowed the car, I watched a lone kestrel hang in the air, as if it was held by invisible wires. In the half-light, this was a bleak and unforgiving place.
Oh. No, it is no good. I am exhausted. I just want it to be over. The police
come
will be
nearer
able to...
the edge. Over here. Let me hold on to you. Don't try to think. Just allow...
What are those lights? There's lights down there. Police. Searching. People with lanterns calling.
It's all right. It may be just...
Under the water. He's under the water. There's no point in looking down there. He's here. On the shelf of rock. You're too late. The waterfall!
There's no waterfall.
Foolish, dare you try and touch the water. I'll go first. No, I will. Hold on. Michael! Help me, someone! He's falling, I can't... Michael! He fell. He fell, my brother, he fell.
It's all right, my darling. It's all right.
Dr. Constance Sedgwick and Dr. John Valentine, I must ask you both to accompany us to the police station for questioning concerning the death of Dr. Robert Murchison.
He's innocent. It was an accident.
Godstone was restless, I remember.
Robert, stop the car.
You can tell us all of this at the station if you don't mind, sir.
Please let him speak for a moment longer.
No, I felt a little dizzy. The water. Murchison was concentrating on me. Godston started rambling. Something about Lucifer. He sometimes thought he was Lucifer and that he could fly. He got out of the car and Robert grabbed him. I think he thought he was going to jump over the edge. Godston probably thought that Robert was trying to harm him, and then I remember there was a tussle, and it was muddy after all the rain, and I grabbed a rock from the road and hit Godston with it, but it was too late. Robert had already slipped. He'd already gone. He'd fallen.
Friday, the 19th of October. They kept us apart at the police station. Asked me so many questions, over and over again. Hours must have passed when I heard in the distance the unmistakable voice of Joseph Edwards. And quite suddenly the door opened and I was told I could leave. And that John would be leaving too. Though they would want him back for questioning tomorrow. As a witness.
Your friend made a mistake when he sedated Robert's patient. Geoffrey Godstone believes himself to be Lucifer, yes, but his memory is unimpaired. Now, once I gave him a drug to counter the effects of the sedative, he was quite able to recount what happened on the roadside. He's quite happily confessed to pushing poor Robert to his death.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Come. I have a car.
Where's John?
They're fetching him now.
I left the medical corps. I was hardly injured, but I was a mess. Nerve shot and riddled with guilt for surviving.
It will have brought the trauma back.
And you had lost sight of the truth many years earlier. Your experiences in the war will have strengthened your belief that you were responsible for your brother's death.
It obsessed me. He was 12 when he died. I was only 10.
You developed an even more extreme guilt complex. Robert's death bore so many similarities. It was the last straw. Too much for your mind to comprehend. Easier to become him than to accept his death.
He was my doctor for a time, but he broke a rule of his profession. We became friends.
That was most unprofessional of him, Dr. Ballantyne.
And then we lost touch. Met up again by accident in London at the Festival of Britain. Spent a day together. He was concerned I was still not well and wanted to see me again as my doctor.
Guilt was his specialism.
And then you asked him to come to Laundry House for a few weeks. He suggested I should come with him, begin my treatment whilst he was here.
He didn't tell me.
He did. It was Godstone he didn't mention. He was worried you'd refuse to have him here on the grounds that Godstone was an unsuitable case for analysis.
So you are the interesting case I was to be sure to discuss.
But in your notes, there was something about God.
I'm an atheist. That's all. Well, not quite all. My father's a clergyman, think he always hoped I'd follow him. Gave up on all of that the day my brother died.
Ah, that would have interested Robert. There's something I have to ask you, though I think I know the answer. Something that is bothering Constance no end. Are you a married atheist?
Dr. Edwards, I didn't mean you to ask.
Funny you should ask. I do hope to be, in fact, very soon. If Constance will consider being my wife.
John, I...
Yeah, but you hardly met. Yesterday she didn't even know your name.
I'm sorry to be the spectre at the feast, but Harold Curtis is refusing to settle down for the night. He was expecting a consultation this afternoon. And I brought some whiskey tumblers. Thought a wee dram might be what the doctor ordered.
Saturday, October the 20th. John and I are planning a few days away together. I promised to be back by Thursday, but I know my future at Landry House is uncertain, and that the death of Robert Murchison has placed a great burden on Dr. Edward's weary shoulders. This evening, as dusk fell, I watched him from my window. He was sweeping leaves from the drive. Anne stood on the steps behind him, and though I couldn't make out their words, the soft drone of their conversation drifted up, and I found myself believing I could hear every word they spoke.
I can manage, Anne. I'm fit enough to clear a few leaves from the drive.
You should be sitting down.
I'm thinking. I think better when I'm doing.
What are you thinking?
That this is the end of something. That everything
is on the edge of change.
You're overtired.
But still, I'm going to retire. Don't look at me like that.
I'll look at you how I please. Where will you go?
The fate of the emigrant, always on the way, in between. Nowhere is home. Will you come with me?
To nowhere? Flattered to be asked, Joseph.
Oh, how about if for once I follow you?
Perhaps.
Constance, I found October flowers.
Be quiet. You'll disturb the patients.
I'll throw them. Will you catch?
You can't throw them this high. Come up.
I can't.
Why not?
You've bewitched me. I'm rooted to the spot.
Don't be ridiculous.
You are so spellbindingly beautiful.
I'm closing the window. It's freezing cold. Come up.
In Spellbound, John Ballantyne was played by Benedict Cumberbatch, Constance Sedgwick by Hattie Morahan, and Nurse Anne Dealing by Alexandra Mathy. Dr. Edwards and Harold Curtis were played by David Fleischman, Geoffrey Godston and Alf Pickles by Gerard Fletcher, and Cicely Trulow by Christine Cox. Spellbound was dramatised by Amanda Dalton from The House of Dr. Edwards by Francis Beeding, and Spellbound, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, screenplay by Ben Hecht, and was directed in Manchester by Susan Roberts.